Alrighty, guys. Well, welcome back to another episode of the On-Site Inside Podcast. I'm your host, Corey Tompkins, and today we have Jaden from Rewired Electrical.
Thanks for having me, mate.
We talked a little bit off camera, but I want to thank you again for coming. I know it's not around the corner and you're a busy man. You're growing your business. You're doing your thing. And I do really appreciate you taking the time out of your day today to come here and talk to our listeners anyway. But if we get started, you want to just talk to the guys, you know, who you are, what you do, all that little jargon, and then we'll get going.
Sure. Thanks, man. Appreciate you having us. A little bit about myself. I'm 7 years into business. I'm 30 years age, mm-hmm. of age. Been in business for 7 years. Did my apprenticeship, worked probably 1 to 2 years on the trade, and then just jumped into doing my own thing. I had a big, very big passion for it. Still do. Mm-hmm. Love the electrical industry. Love the trade industry. Mm-hmm. Started off as a one-man band, working weekends. You know what it's like.
Yeah, that's it.
Working 7 days a week, and just thought, let's just do it, give it a crack, and go from there.
Yeah. So yeah. Why electrical? Was it a family scenario? What was the idea with getting into that? Because we get a lot of guys that will say, you know, hey man, I'm thinking about getting in a trade. Like, why did you pick that?
I never ever thought about being an electrician, to be honest.
Yeah.
It was actually my first ever employer was a neighbor of ours. Literally hit up my parents. My parents have a great work ethic, and that's where I get it from as well. Mm-hmm. And just said, do you think your son would be keen to start an electrical apprenticeship? And at that time I was doing marine mechanic.
Yeah.
Just working at a jet ski place. And my parents said, like, you're silly if you don't give this a crack.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And pretty much the rest is history. Did that for 4 years
And probably around about that time too, apprenticeships weren't you know, because believe it or not, they actually weren't that easy to get.
No.
It wasn't actually like sort of what it is now where guys are looking for apprentices. You know, there was a very fucking much, there was a time during a certain period where, fuck, you know, you had to actually prove yourself and you had to, you know, you had to
That's exactly
compete.
Right. And I think there was a bit, I wouldn't say myself old school, but the way apprentices were treated back then and as to now, you know, I mean, it's come a long way, which is great.
Mm.
Apprentices, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. So give us a little bit of a look. So you know, you started that out. We fast forwarded all the way to now. What's the sort of business that you got that you have now? And then we'll go right back to apprenticeship days and how you made that decision to fucking, you know, start Rewired.
Yeah. So at right now, there is 7 of us. We got 4 tradies, including myself and 3 apprentices.
Yeah.
We got 6 vehicles on the road. We do commercial, residential, a little bit of maintenance, but mainly our bread and butter at this time is commercial, doing a lot of gym fit outs, a lot of workshop fit outs and stuff like that. And then we're still doing our luxury new homes and still doing bits and pieces for residential clients as well, the people that got us to where we are today.
Yeah.
So you can't let go of them or forget about them.
Yeah.
Now we've got admin in the office full time, which is good. Take a bit of stress off me, get myself back out of the office and I wouldn't say back onto the tools, but back sort of into a BDM role, you know, working on the business. So great.
No, that's good. All right. So did you subby for a little bit when you first got out or did you go down the path of a full-time employee? And then what was the decision in the road for you to be like, you know, fuck this, like I'm just going to go and, you know, sling and bang it myself. Like,
Like
get my own company. And because it's hard, man, like, you know, people hear you now and they say, oh, you know, fuck, like look what he's got now. Like, fuck, that was pretty fast. But like, I'm sure there's been many challenges in between.
And
how did you make that decision, I guess?
Yeah, for sure. So when I was a qualified electrician, I had a big friend group, big family group, obviously doing a lot of cashies on the weekends. And then I just got to one day and I was just like, actually, it was the worst timing ever. I just finished building my first home.
Yeah.
And I was completely sick of it. I was doing cashies left, right, and center. I had no time to do it on weekends anymore. I said to my parents, I want to borrow some money. I'm going to start my own business. And it's pretty much sink or swim from then on.
Yeah.
I did a bit of subby work along the way for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
Just to fill in gaps here and there.
Yeah.
But majority of the time, it was just me hustling, trying to bring in my own clientele along the way.
Yeah. Because and I think that's what you said at the start, you know, doing 60, 70 hour weeks. It's fucking, it's the norm, you know?
It is
you
the norm. It's got to be done.
It's a hard pill to swallow and it is hard. Like I know a lot of guys that will message me that will say, you know, I'm thinking about starting my own business and I got a family and I got this and I got that. Fuck, there ain't no easy way to put it. And I think there would have been a point similar to myself where, you know, you're doing weekend work or cash work or fucking whatever it is. You might be doing little quoted work here and there. But you would have got that busy doing that sort of stuff that it would have nearly outweighed the stuff during the week.
Mm.
You know, for me, I say to even my apprentices now, I was earning more cash on a weekend as an apprentice than I was during the week.
Yeah, sometimes because it does get like that.
Yeah, that's what it was like. Like I could go out there and be a laborer on a weekend, on a Saturday and a Sunday, and earn $450 or $500 a day, mm-hmm. like just banging it out like for 12 hours versus being an apprentice and only getting $100 and something a day. Like
100%.
You know, and then that was sort of the moment in time where I was like, oh, fuck, like, you know, okay, like if I do that, and yeah, it wasn't perfect. Like there was weeks where you didn't have any, there wasn't a lot, but then you just had to grind it the fuck out. And I think same, I subbied for a few people. Like I got a relationship with a few builders and a few other gangs. And I was like, listen, when I've got spare weeks or spare days, like I'll subby for you. And that only worked for so long
because
you know, you're not just going to be able to use and abuse them.
No, exactly. Like, yeah. They're not going to keep you afloat forever.
Yeah, yeah. So it got to a point where it was like, listen, man, like, you're good when you're here, but the fucking inconsistency of like, oh, you know, you're only hitting me up once every 2 weeks or,
yes.
you know, 1 week it's 3 days and then the other day week it's none. And then when I need you, you're busy as fuck. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and that was a sort of a moment in time where it was just like, okay, like, fuck, you know, not that they said no, but they were just like, nah, unless you can give us a week at a time, I can't have you.
And make it consistent too, yeah. obviously. Same thing, roles reverse, like us wanting to use subbies, you know yeah. what I mean? Like we, in that role, like, yeah, we want to use subbies, but also they can pull out in the day before and you've had a job booked in for 3 months, mm. you know what I mean? So coming from that side of things as well, it's never easy to do it that
yeah.
way.
Yeah, and it is hard. Like we don't really use subbies at all because it's just how I know how, like, it's probably fucking more volatile with chippies than it is with
yeah.
anything.
Oh, we don't use subbies at all.
Yeah, yeah. But like, no. Fuck, it's literally, you know, yeah, you lock them in, and then bang, message next day. It's like, oh, sorry, mate, like, can't get
exactly.
there. It's like, fuck.
That's right, 100%. Fuck. I'd rather tell our clients they got to wait 2 or 3 months, or I'd rather not tell them that, but I have to tell them that instead of getting Joe Blow to come give us a hand and delivering a different type of work to what we actually do, you know what I mean? So
getting jobs and all that sort of stuff, was it all word of mouth at the start?
Yeah.
Or did how did you sort of cross that bridge right at the start with getting work?
A lot of, to get to where I started, yeah, it was a lot of word of mouth, a lot of friendships, a lot of friends of friends.
And you were just mainly doing houses at this point?
Yeah, all resi, yeah.
Just all resi.
Didn't do any commercial at all.
Yeah, new builds?
Well, not on the weekends and stuff like that when I first started.
Yeah.
But I was just literally putting up fans, changing downlights, upgrading downlights to LEDs, putting in PowerPoints for Joe Blow.
But
very, very simple stuff.
And then did you go down the path of the rates and
much of projects? No, I was doing that previously as a tradesman before I went out on my own, and I learned pretty quickly from my employer that it wasn't really the way to go. Mm-hmm. Just money wise, turnover wise, cash flow wise, the money wasn't there. Obviously, everybody's different, but he didn't make it sound very appealing to me, so I didn't really want to go down that route at all.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny because I've had a few, like, even close mates and stuff, guys that I've spoken to about going from, you know, house bashing pretty essentially all the way through to, you know, custom stuff.
Mm-hmm.
In your opinion, do you think it makes a better Sparky if they come from, say, house bashing and then you mold them into like commercial, or would you rather them come from commercial and then have to like implement that sort of speed and that urgency that you would probably get when you're coming from that point of just bashing it out, you know?
I'd honestly love to grab staff that have come out of house bashing because, like you say, you get the speed out of them.
Yeah.
They know how to work in a fast environment.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, they only know 5 or 6 different things.
Mm.
You know, it's all clockwork. They're doing one builder, 4 different plans, all year long.
Yeah.
So they're doing the same thing. It's just rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
So they only know a very minimal of what you need them to know.
Mm.
But obviously that's no fault of their own. It's just where they've ended up working.
Yeah.
But like I said, getting that speed is a big thing for sure.
Yeah.
Because teaching someone speed is not easy.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. Like, and you know, that's what I found. And even in the sort of space that we've come from, it's like when I get guys that, because a lot of our stuff is like childcares and school. So it's like not the project sort of style stuff where you just fucking, you know, 12-hour days, no shirt, just going at it. That's not what we're at. But when I get a guy that's come from that and I put him on a job where it's a little bit more intricate and stuff, it's a lot easier for me to teach him to say, hey, man, like, you know, you either need to slow down a little on this, or like, I need this perfect, or roles reverse. I get a guy that's come from that commercial sort of space, and that's the issue that we're finding at the moment. So I'm getting guys that have come from that space, and then there might be a particular residential job or a contracted job that is sort of, you know, that type one where you're like, listen, man, I need you to bang this one out. It's like, fucking like, oh man, I don't know what the fuck. It's like,
yeah,
like,
no, I
see
that.
It's so hard because it's like, oh, you know, they've never been on that other side. And I just think that other side is so, it gets bashed a lot from guys where it's like, oh, just create shit tradesmen, this, that, and the other. I guess it's, you know,
yeah,
it depends how you look at it.
Bit of 50-50. Yeah, it depends what side you're looking at it from. Yeah. Obviously, business owner's point of view, having that training in the project side of things and getting the speed up is a big thing to have behind you. That's for sure.
Yeah. And the quality isn't there, but.
Yeah, exactly. It all depends. If you've got the quality and the speed, obviously, that's exactly what you want. Perfect world, that's great. Yeah. But hey, we don't come across that often these days, do we? I wish.
Yeah. So now that you say you've grown the team to 7, was it always 7, or did you have a point in time where it was more or less? And how have you been able to, you know, with scaling, what's been some of the biggest things for you, you know? Because you have a lot more. You got vehicles, I'm assuming fuel cards, insurances, fucking you name it, mate. Like,
literally,
you
know, lots of overheads. Yeah. Honestly, didn't want to come to this point. Yeah. I was happy just with 2-3 blokes, including myself.
So what was the point? What was the pivotal point then?
Our bigger clients scaling themselves. Yeah. We'd have to keep up with them. Obviously, if we don't keep up with them, they're going to go elsewhere. Yeah, and I don't 100%. Want that to happen. I built relationships with these people from the ground up, kept them happy along the way.
Yeah.
So you want to keep them happy to keep bringing the workload in.
Yeah.
So like I said, I didn't even want to get to 8 staff now, and we're still looking at a couple more. Mm. But that's the only reason I don't want to. I'm always a big believer in –
Was it a quality thing?
Like, yeah, what quality was what am I trying to say? Like, it comes down to quality, and the way I've built my clientele is front face because of myself and people. All my staff are people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So trying to find everybody that fits in within the company and keeping our clients happy is another big thing as well. But
you're trying not to lose
the culture.
Because it is hard.
Yeah.
You know, when you get to, I think statistically they say around about that like 15 mark, that's when you start to really lose the reins a little bit and it becomes a lot bigger than yourself.
Yep.
You know, you rely on the guys that you've got on the ground. They're the ones that are being the face. They're the ones that are building the relationship with the client and stuff. For me, it was something that I used to consistently have the problem with, because it was always a client wanted me. They didn't want the company. They wanted me.
Yep.
They wanted me there. They felt reassured when I was there. They could call me. It was not an abrasive thing, but it was very like, it became very hard when I started to distance myself and be like, oh no, like you need to push that to the guys on site. Oh, well, where are you? Like, and then it's hard.
That's the issue I'm facing right now.
So, and you can't be all places at once, and you can't keep, you know, for me, I've realized that you can't keep everyone happy.
No, exactly. That's right.
It's, you know, you try your best and you do your best with what you got. But you know, if you don't look after number one, you're going to burn yourself out. So it is hard.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, you can't wear all the hats within the company as much as you want to.
You want to be the tradie to do the quality.
That's
you want
right.
to be the leading hand to push the guys. And you want to be there to talk shit with the guys. But then you want to be in the office because you want to look at the numbers. You want to work along with the admin. You want to improve the business internally. You haven't got enough fucking time in the world.
That's exactly right. You don't have enough time to do one of those things, let alone 7 or 8 of those things, you know. So, obviously that's the problem I'm dealing with at the moment is obviously trying to – I've literally got up until last week, I've got clients emailing me and calling me saying, will it be you attending the job? I'm like, I wish I can come replace your van for you, but I've got bigger fish to fry, you know? So, I'm so appreciative of that client still wanting us to come do bits and pieces for them. But the way the company is at this stage, I've got bigger things to do.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, without sounding rude.
Yeah.
But it's just the things you got to deal with when you're growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys, congratulations. You're halfway through this episode. I hope you guys are really enjoying it. But first, I just want to make a special thank you to Ideal Group Australia. Without them, I wouldn't be able to bring this podcast to you. So special thank you. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Buckle in and get ready to listen to the end of this episode. Yeah, and for the guys that are listening, I know it sort of seems a little bit like, oh, yeah, but fucking you just stay in the pocket and you can just stay there on site. Like, I'm sure you can just do both. Like, you really can't. It does. This is the journey that I went on. it almost became more of a hindrance when I was there. And that was like a come to light moment when one of my leading hands pulled me aside and he was like, mate, listen, when you're here, it's great, right?
Mm.
But you're trying to instill confidence and you're trying to instill like power into the leading hands and the guys on site to run the job, but you're not fucking letting them do it because when you're here, doesn't matter.
You're taking over.
Exactly. Like yeah. if you're there and you've got your team set up with your key tech or whatever you guys refer to, your leading hand, and he's running the job and you're there. Perfect analogy. Everyone that is underneath him that should be reporting back to him, they're not going to be reporting back to him when you're there.
No.
They might be, but if you go up to him and say, hey, man, I need you to go and do that, they're not going to turn around to you and say, oh, no, I can't fucking do that because he told me that I need
to
do this.
They're going to listen to you.
They're going to listen to you. Mm. And that was sort of a moment in time where I was like, okay, like, fuck. Like, I started to see it unfold in front of my eyes. And I was like, all right, sweet. So I just I was like, no, I'm pulling myself away. Like, mm-hmm. pulling myself off. And, you know, was it a little bit, fuck. Initially,
it's the last thing you want to do.
When I pulled myself off for like 3 days, like instantly, like that, I pulled myself away from the equation for 3 days to start with. For the first 3 days, like I didn't really know what to fucking do.
Yeah.
I was literally just like sitting in the ute, fucking go to Bunnings. Like I didn't really have that much thing to fill in. But then
yep.
I could see it slowly. The teams were starting to then to like fucking mold in a bit better. He was then creating relationships with the managers or like the CMs and staff of the sites and, you know, I wasn't there so much. Like, it was just, yeah, it was sort of a fucking bit of a moment in time. And then that's when I was there. That's when it fucking hit me where I was like, okay, sweet. Like, I don't need to be there.
It's a hard thing to let go of. And everyone goes, oh,
efficiency, you know, you're going to lose efficiency. Yeah, but you need to be okay with that. You know, you're never going to be able to, like, the guy that you employ will never do it as good as you can or as fast as you can. Fuck, you're always the best at everything, right? Every business owner that say to you.
You just ask them.
Yeah, I'm the fucking, man, I'm the fucking bee's knees, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck, I'd bang that out in 10 minutes. Like, whatever. Like, but the reality is that when you get to the point, it's like, okay, like once you swallow that pill that, you know, they're not going to be able to do it as fast, the way that I would or whatever. And then, you know, as long as the quality's there and the client's happy and fuck. Like,
and they're not taking too long.
Oh, yeah. But then, like, you know, for me, it comes down to the whole pricing thing as well. You know, I was pricing it for myself.
You can't.
I would look at it and I'd be like, I reckon I could do this in, you know, fuck, we could build this house in a week.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm doubling these quotes now. Yeah. You have to. And you got to allow for the worst, right?
Like, fuck, it was only the other day we were like, oh, we built, you know, we got a flight of stairs on this commercial joint that we were building. I was like, oh, surely, like, fuck, 3 days. I'm like, that's fucking heaps.
No, doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
No. Yeah.
Nothing to the guys. It wasn't that they weren't busting their balls. It was just didn't work. So we went back to the drawing board after it and then we were like, you know, Kelly was like, oh, you know, what do we do? Like, we got overruns, this, that, and the other. It's like, well, fuck, there's nothing we can do now.
No.
But
what are we going to do on the next time to make it better?
So now, like, fuck, yeah, on the next one, we fucking right up. But it was, another lesson learned.
Yeah, exactly. And, that's it. But,
you know, you have to pay the fucking bill on that as well. It's not free.
Exactly. That's right. 100%. These lessons, you're the one that's going to pay it.
Yeah, these lessons are the one that you're fucking paying for. So, yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. But what, other than that, you know, because looking from the outside in now, it seems like you're in that point where, you know, you almost need to pull yourself away. Like, how's it all going at the moment for the guys?
Yeah, it's hard. I haven't been on the tools.
Have you got one team that, or have you got?
So I've got between two and three teams, depends what's going on.
Yeah.
Got one crew doing the commercial, got one crew doing the resi, and then a couple of blokes. I always chop and change the apprentices around so they get a bit of feel about everything.
And then do you just float?
Yeah, I haven't been on the tools, man, for probably 2 years. I've been on the tools for 10 days over the last, or say 2 weeks over the last 2 days, 2 years, sorry.
Mm.
And that's not by choice.
Mm.
I want to be on the tools, but I've got to be out in the background doing bits and pieces. And,
And did you have any pushback from guys that you employed? Because I've gone through probably two life cycles of employees.
Yeah.
The first initial one was when I made that big jump initially. I think at that point I had like 9 or something guys. So I went right back down to 5 and then—
What do you mean by pushbacks?
Pushback like, you know, you know, oh, what are you doing all day? Like,
I still get it to this day.
Bet you fucking just sitting at home doing nothing. Like,
yeah,
it's obviously joking. It's joking for the most part. But there are some times where, you know, oh, why don't you fucking come out here and do it then? Like,
exactly. And my crew is pretty good. They do understand there is a lot that goes on behind the scenes, but also at the same time, they think I'm sitting at home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon while they're working at 5 o'clock. It's not the case. Yeah. If I'm at home, I'm still working. You know what I mean? It doesn't stop. You know what it's like.
Yeah.
But hey, I choose to do that. I'm very passionate about it. I love doing it. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm.
But I'm always working. I'm working in my sleep. You know what it's like. You wake up in the middle of the night, you roll over and you put something on your phone.
Oh, it's just,
Notes and things you got to remember before you wake up the next day. And
I've got probably two or three guys that have been with me all the way.
Yeah,
like they've seen the business change and mold and guys come and go and fucking me come and go. And like, I'm thankful enough that those guys have, you know, they understand what's
going
on. They've
seen it all.
Yeah. But they've, how I think the year for me that it all set in stone was 2022.
Mm-hmm.
I set out with a big goal that year. It was that was the year that I really pulled the trigger on. Like, I was off site fully. I didn't go to site at all. You know, I wasn't doing deliveries. Wasn't doing nothing. Doesn't mean it. Well, let me reword that. Not that I was doing nothing.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
I made that decision.
Yep.
That it was a point in time, and but with that, when I sat down with the whole team at the point, I think we only had. I think we hit 10 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I sat down with all of them. I said, boys, at the end of this year, this is where we're going to be and this is what we're going to be doing. And fucking, it was just a fire in my belly that it was like, okay, like if I've got all this time now and these boys are busting their ass, I got to produce the fucking goods. And like, sure enough, at the end of that year, we pushed through. We got to where we said we were going to do. And by doing that, I just seen it in the guys' eyes. Like, I seen it amongst the team that, when I said we were going to go somewhere, we were going to do something, they believed it. Up until then, it was all just jargon. It was like, oh, boys, I'm going to pay you guys more. I'm going to get you this. We're going to do that. Like, it's all just fugazi. It wasn't real. They never really fucking believed it.
Mm-hmm.
But when I said it and we did it, it was after that, it was like.
Do you remember what you did?
Basically, we went from, I think I had 9 guys at the time. We then went up to, I said to him, we're going to get to 15,
mm-hmm.
right? So we're going to get 3 teams. We actually went to 17 and I got an admin on and I wasn't going to touch site and that the 3 teams were going to be fully, like it was just clear, right? There was only like 5 or 6 things. It was basically that and that the 3 teams were going to be fully established as leading hands.
Yep.
And that leading hand would then get a full package deal set up with proper pay and it was fully going to be, you know, automated to a degree. Like,
and how did that go for you? Did it work?
Fucking, it worked. Yep. But man, it came with challenges, you know? That during that phase, don't forget, I said in January I started with 9, but in that year I had a full life cycle of employees go. So I had started with 9, I got down to like 5. Then there was points along that journey during the year where it was, we didn't have enough guys. And then it was like, oh, well, why don't you come to site and you can help us and we can hit that goal?
Yep.
Old me was like, oh, just throw the fucking boots on, go, I don't know about. It's like, nah.
Not doing
nah,
it. Nah. Nah. Can't
so
do
I'm
it.
Not doing it. I said, and then to everyone, to the main guy's defense, when I worded it to him, I said, listen, I'm not being a dickhead about it or anything like that. This is why I'm not going to do it, because we built the mountain, we built the pyramid, we've committed to it. And if I do it this one time, who's going to say that I just don't do it again?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
we said we're going to do it, and if we don't survive the storm, at that point, it was a fucking. We were hitting PC on some jobs. We were starting new, like, you know what it's like when you're hitting completion on jobs, but you're also in that middle ground where you're starting new jobs. Fucking nightmare to deal with, right? Because nothing works perfectly. Things are delayed. It's a fucking headache, right?
Yeah.
You've got defects you're trying to go back with. Mind you, you're not getting paid for those defects, but yeah, you still want to push the other claim, blah, 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 blah. So I was in that middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, I said, listen, if we can't survive the fucking storm without me there, there's a bigger issue at hand.
Yep.
And they're all like, you know, I could remember they were just like, oh, fuck, okay. Like, and then, fucking sure enough, man, like 4 or 5 weeks later.
That's cool.
We seen it through and we got there and it was, I said to him, I said, see, like we did
it. We can do it.
But now it built, it was a double-edged thing. I didn't go back, but it also built confidence in them.
Of course.
You know, because they still hit the fucking goal. I said to him, listen, we need to hit this goal.
Yeah.
Whatever way we do, we need to hit that goal.
No matter what.
And then they still fucking hit it. So they all rallied together. They were doing big ass days. You know, mind you, they still got paid for them.
Yeah, of course.
Just fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had a few fucking heart, you know, headaches and fucking stressing. But then, yeah, we had to re-employ and
it's good get to look new back guys. On though, right?
Yeah, and
yeah, get,
and,
way you
know,
did it.
I think it's when, you know, you got to earn your stripes. And mm-hmm. that year was definitely a year where, you know, fucking cash flow was an issue. We had, the, I think we had the shittest fucking December, January period of my life. I still remember looking at the stats. It was like, we didn't re-break even until like June.
Takes a lot like to catch up, doesn't it?
Took fucking ages to catch up.
Yeah.
And then even then it was like, yeah, right at that period of June there, that's when we were hitting the end of a job, starting a new job. So it was a fucking cash flow. It was absolutely dumped. And yeah, never been to that. Was never at that point. Never done it before.
Yeah,
I was
sure.
Fuck, like what do I do? And but anyway, that's like, these are all the things that guys just don't understand. They all see the glitz and the glam and
yeah,
you know,
the fucking,
you know, that's always the issues. But you know, I guess you could probably resonate as well, man. Like it's, cash flow is a big one for me. Like with, and a lot of guys get weird talking about it. I don't ever talk about the details of the numbers and stuff. Mm. But like for me, it's a big one because everyone knows guys get paid weekly. They don't get paid monthly. They get paid weekly. And for the most part, in the commercial space, it would probably be similar.
Yeah.
But for me, it's end of month.
Dude. End of month. Yeah, end of exactly.
Month. Yeah, end of month. We, so you're ride or die end of month. Yeah,
exactly. That's right. Yeah, we're lucky. Depends on the job. Depends on the client. Depends on how things are going for them as well, of course. But yeah, cash flow is a big problem within a lot of businesses that I do, business owners that I do know. We've definitely nutted it out over the last couple of years, myself and the accountant.
Mm.
He's done really well with me. And obviously, we still come into issues and whatnot. We're still sometimes you still got to feed that bank account, don't you?
No,
and sometimes you got to go without pay for a month or two.
Yeah.
And then obviously you'll build it back up later on. But until that money comes through, that cash flow issue is always there, and it's always a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. And a lot of guys when they go out to start their own business, they don't understand that trades, whether you're electrical, plumbing, you name it, doesn't fucking matter. Builders, developers, they're in a little bit of a different field. Their cash flow issues are fucking a lot larger, you know, if they've got finance and this, that, and the other. That's a whole fucking other beast. I'm not really talking to them. But mainly for trades, for the most part, it's end of month, right? If you don't, you might get 7 days on small resi jobs, or you might get paid fucking straight away if you're doing maintenance, this, that,
and
the other.
Just enough to pay the phone bills and the fuel bills.
Exactly. But, you know, when you have months where you got a 5 pay run cycle, you know, and that builder, you're fucking withholding pay. Like, he might not pay directly at the end of the month, and you might got to roll an extra week. Like, fuck. Like, the money's coming from somewhere.
Yep, exactly.
It's got to come from somewhere. And everyone's like, oh, you know, but then you could just be righter with your money. It's when you're scaling, what I'm trying to allude to, guys, is like when you're scaling and you're trying to literally push both, right? So you're trying to grow the company to a point to get yourself off the tools, to get yourself office team and everything like that behind you. So you need the guys on site. You can't really. When I say can't, for me, I haven't seen it, but it'd be very hard for someone to have a full ops structure with like an operations manager, admin, estimator, running with only 3 guys on site.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
not fucking happening, right?
No, exactly.
So you got to grow that ground team up. And while you're doing that, that's outlay.
You're going to come into these cash flow issues big time.
Big time.
Until you get on top of it.
Until you get on top of it. And then you hit the next curve, you're like, oh, fuck. Like, you know, need to go again.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So, you know, but for you, is there a point in time where, you know, you might, I bet you we're going to sit back in like 12 months, you'd be like, oh, you know, I said 7, I actually got like 17 now.
Yeah. I hope not.
Yeah, we're going national, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, is there, for you, do you see it going like scaling up harder this year? Or
honestly, I don't really want to. If my clients do, I've got no choice, and I'm happy to do that for them.
Yeah.
But I don't.
But do you see yourself in that?
I can definitely in that
scale thing, whether those clients or other clients. Do you see? Because for me, it's like an opportunity in the line of work that we're in. I had literally same as you. I had no other option than to scale. You're not going to get a contract at that caliber or work for that client running with a trailer and 2 dudes.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not going to happen.
No.
They want to know that you've got someone in the fucking seat for admin and accounts. They want to know that you've got, you know, an operations manager there ready to go that they can contact. Like, they want to know that that's all there and that all comes with scale. Like, it's going to be very hard for you to do it. Like,
for sure, you know, for sure. Mm. Yeah. I'll scale if I have to. I'd rather keep a tight-knit little community culture within my team. I like having that. I like getting along with all the boys. I love being able to be the face of the company still, to an extent. But
know all their names.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Know who I've got. Know who. If I walk into work and go, all right, where's so-and-so, like he's away today, you know. Yeah, but sometimes you've got 15 blokes, you're not going to pick out that guy been away. So I do love having it that way. We all get along and whatnot. But, hey, if it's got to happen, it's got to happen, right?
Mm.
But I don't have dreams of doing it. Sometimes people think, oh, more staff, more jobs, more money, more headaches and less money.
It doesn't happen,
And, hey, don't get me wrong, sometimes it is good, you know what I mean? Sometimes it does work, but not nine times out of ten, but a lot of the time it's a lot harder.
Yeah, it is harder, man, and I think that's where guys get stuck.
Mm.
It's like scaling and growing a business is the sexy part.
Yeah.
So what everyone sees, it's great. Like they're getting the photos with the more utes and look at all this. It's like that's the sexy part of it.
Mm.
The unsexy part is the fucking heartache that it takes to do it. Like, you know, and you can fucking get yourself in a real bad spot real quick if you're not on top of it.
For sure.
Right? You got to be on top of it. You got to know like, okay, like, you know, if I'm getting these guys on, like, where is that going to get me to? Like, what? Don't just be bringing fucking people on to bring them on. If you need them, you need them.
Yeah.
Like, if you need the guys and you need the vans and stuff, then do it.
Whether you need it or not.
Yeah.
Don't go out of it just because you got to keep, old mate's being really busy just for one day and you're going to get a car.
I think this is where, like, the forecasting aspect and stuff and looking more like 12 months ahead on where you're going to go to or where you want to get to rather than just looking at it because – I don't know if you have the same fucking issue, but every single developer that we work for, every single builder that we work for, it's always the same fucking story. We need more guys on site.
Yeah,
We need more guys. I'm not seeing enough. They just want to see bodies.
Yeah, exactly. They want to see their project going a ball to gate. Yeah. They've got timelines to beat, so they want to see more boys on site. But at the same time, sometimes it's just not amicable.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
I get pushed for that all the time, but I also know that we can handle what's going on.
Yeah.
And just keep telling them, we're all good. We're on track.
Yeah.
Go annoy the other trades.
Yeah. I'm glad, literally, this is something that I don't really have to do with it. Kelly does, but it's like consistent.
Yeah.
It's always... And they do. Literally, we'll get emails. Like, he'll get text messages. He'll be like, hey, man, I only noticed that you had 6 guys on today.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
Can we get some more guys here? It's like, we're still hitting all the targets.
Exactly, that's right.
You just want to see bodies. Like, you just want to see guys here. So that's why it just requires you to have, like, a little bit of pushback and a little bit of confidence to be like, okay, like, no, we don't need any more guys. We're good with what we've got.
Mm.
And then you look at it from a holistic point, like where you're at over the course of all your jobs. Like, and if you got to... You know, if you need the guy and you got the opportunity, then do it.
Of course.
Don't just do it to fucking do it.
No, not to get through the next 6 months either. It's not worth it. You'll shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah. And the ATO will be they'll be coming to fucking collect.
Yeah.
Someone said to me a while ago that all business owners are, they're just glorified tax agents. That's all we are. At the end of the day, all we're doing is we're collecting tax from every single person, every single job, and we're handing it to the ATO, and that's all we do.
Yeah.
That's essentially our fucking job. You know, at the end of it, we make a bit of money, happy days. And if we don't, well, that's on us.
Glorified tax.
Yeah, glorified tax agents.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I fucking thought about putting on my job title at the bottom, just tax agent. That's all I am. I'm just collecting tax, baby. That's it from everyone. But anyway, moving on. All right, so family, that sort of stuff. Now?
Misses, no kids.
No kids yet.
Yeah. Nah, no kids yet, exactly. Yeah. No kids yet. I do have goals to have kids. I want to have a couple of kids one day.
Yeah.
Time's running out. Yeah. But,
time's not running out.
Nah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm 30. They reckon it's all downhill from here, but we'll keep pushing. I've got a couple goals to reach before I do that, before I get to slow down and be able to be involved with the family and whatnot. So, just myself, partner, and
Sweet. It's good. Bring on the kids, mate.
Yeah, I got 2 dogs. That's enough for now.
Yeah, well, for me, I got 2 dogs, 2 kids, and 2 cats.
Yeah.
So I'm fucking done. Yeah, I'm done. I don't want any more fucking... Yeah, animals are more of a headache, trust. But anyway, so now you're in the space, because I follow you on socials quite a bit. You're doing a lot of shit, right? There's a lot of stuff, high profile stuff, really, you know, glitz and glam. That's the fucking...
Looks good on socials. Oh, yeah.
Amazing. I love it. Yeah, for me, I'm like, fuck, man, this is what I want to do. This looks great. But how have you had issues? I know you've got great relationships, right? But how have you, because in the sector that you're in, I'm assuming it's competitive to a degree.
Oh, it's just like every trade industry, isn't it?
Everything.
Yeah.
Right? Have you been able to just keep the relationships tight, or have you had to, you know, finesse your sales thing? Because a lot of guys would just be going in on price. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that guy priced me 110 grand on that fit out.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you for 90.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. And for the most part, for a lot of builders and a lot of customers, correct me if I'm wrong, but a PowerPoint's a power, like, PowerPoint's a PowerPoint.
Yep.
You run the cable to the fucking thing, you turn it on and if it runs power, happy days.
Yep.
A lot of clients, they don't understand like all the rest of the fucking jargon that comes along with it.
Exactly. You know, that's
same
right.
When, yeah.
Yeah, we try and differentiate ourselves from the rest down to quality of work and time of work as well. We got to hit timelines and deadlines all the time, as you know.
Mm.
So that's a big thing for a client. And then, yeah, just sticking to budget for the client as well. Mm. So we work with two big companies that have tight budgets. Mm-hmm. They're turning over multi-million dollar fit outs all the time. So they need to know where we're at price-wise and whatnot. And obviously... We go into competition with other Sparkies and whatnot, but yeah, just.
And are you more educating them along the way as well?
You have to convince them along the way, or you got to convince them from the start, right? Yeah. To get your foot in the door, and then keep proving yourself along the way.
And I think being involved at the start, because for us, what I find is where you get fucked is you get involved too late in the process.
Yes,
like the budget's already set, the scope's already set. It's like, well, fuck, like. We can't make that work.
No, exactly.
Like
That's right.
It's not going to work, mate. What you're wanting and what your budget is completely fucking false. And like, you'll probably find someone that will do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sure enough,
last 12 months, though.
And sure enough, they'll just fucking for us anyway. They just go with the fucking cheapest dude, and I send them a thing, and I say, no worries, you just message me if
you want us to fix something up.
That's it.
Yeah, and it happens a lot of the time, doesn't it? A lot of people out there go in real cheap. They think, oh, this is a big dollar sign. I'm going to do that, and it's going to be easy as, and they're going to make money out of it. And halfway through the job, they've gone bust, or the builders got pissed off with them, and now they come crawling back to us.
Mm-hmm.
And poor man pays twice. You know what I mean? It comes down to proving your worth and proving your quality of work. So you just got to differentiate yourself from the rest.
Yeah. All right. Final thing.
Yeah,
apprentices. What's your experience being with apprentices? Because for us, we have a lot of apprentices that we employ. We've probably got seven, eight, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
And it's been funny for me to see it over the years change as guys are coming through now, right? Because the common thing that is happening is that a lot of apprentices, they get a bit of a bad rap because they're fucking, you know, they don't like working hard or anything like that. And I do empathize with it because, like, you know, first thing you do is you jump on fucking TikTok or Instagram, and the first thing that's going to get slapped into your face is you sign up to my course and I'll show you how to make $5,000 a day.
Yeah. Right?
That's the first thing. Like, you want to come and drive a Lambo in Dubai? I'm going to show you how. This is what they're fucking competing with. We're like, back for us, that wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't.
What we were trying to achieve was the guy that was rocking up in the 79 series. And he was like, fuck, that's a nice,
the trade.
Yeah, that's a fucking nice ute, mate.
Yeah.
How'd you do that? Oh, you'd be in it for fucking 20 years, cunt. Or, you know, that for me, that was me looking at it being like, oh, fuck, like, okay, like that was my sort of drive. I didn't have any sort of, you know, exterior thing. It was always just, you know, fuck, you're going to get a nice car.
Yeah,
and, you know,
exactly,
be able
that's right.
You know, throw shit at apprentices and fucking times have changed.
Yeah, for sure. Can't get away with it these days.
I know. But yeah, what's your, like, have you noticed that with, how many have you got apprentices?
Yeah, so we got three.
Yeah.
Possibly doing a fourth one soon.
Yeah.
Over the years, I've definitely seen it change.
Yeah.
The thing that annoys me the most is the kids that will come in for a trial. Well, not kids, they're all adults most of the time.
Yeah.
But the young guys that come in because mum and dad have said so, you're going to be a sparker, you're going to make good money, you're going to be a trader, you're going to have something behind you. Totally agree with it, but the whole money thing, that's a big thing for me.
Mm.
I still have people's parents calling me, asking me for apprenticeships. Like, that does my head in.
Mm.
And that shows a lot about the child and how they were brought up as well,
and
how they will continue to live their life.
Yeah.
So back when I was an apprentice, if I got my parents to call and sick me, I'd be shot. you know what I mean? So
I've noticed that a lot recently too about, you know, parents stepping in for – and. As you said, they're not child. They're fucking, if you're 17 or 18 and you're going to a job, like,
you're
it's your
adult.
Fucking job, dude.
Yep,
like,
exactly right.
You don't need to be, you don't need your mum and dad to ring up and you know, if you're sick, you fucking make the phone call yourself.
Don't text me either.
Yeah, like, you make the phone call yourself and, you know, you don't have to get your mum and dad. Like, but I've noticed recently that it's becoming fucking, you know, it's becoming the norm. Like,
it's
for
more
the parents
and more
to get involved and all the stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for it. If they want to be involved with how they're getting treated in their employment and stuff like that, fair
they
fucking
can support
enough.
Along the way, 100%.
Fair enough. But you don't need to speak for them.
No,
right?
Exactly right.
They need to speak for themselves. And, you know, the pay thing, massive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a massive fucking, it's a thing that I've been ridiculed for, and something that I stand pretty strongly on is that for us, I pay our apprentices as per the award.
Yep.
I do not negotiate pay.
Mm-hmm.
The government stipulates what I pay them.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? And that figure, like, you know, love it or leave it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
When we get to that third, fourth year, once you've gone through it, and I've literally tracked it now, I sort of know. If the apprentice usually gets to about that 18-month mark, right, that year and a bit, if they click over that, they're usually pretty good. They'll stay through it.
Yeah,
they're,
sure.
They're through it. If they don't, you know, because all the shit will start seeing. You know, once they sign up, it's all mad. You know, mum and dad's happy. Everyone's happy. They've got a trade. They're a tradie. It's fucking sick.
Yeah.
Usually get to about a year. Pay hasn't changed, you know, they're expected to do a little bit more, this, that, and the other. About 6 months after that, that's usually when, you know, it all starts to settle in. It's like, fuck, I've got so much more to go. So, that's our sort of philosophy, is we just run it per the award.
Yeah.
And then when we get to those last couple of years, because I see it all the time, right? Guys will come in and they'll be like, oh, you know, fuck, I'm not making any money. I'm not saving. Mate.
Put in the hard yards. You got to do it. We've all done it. Everyone else has got
to
do it.
I literally say to them all, like, I had a fucking guy in here the other day and he's saying he wants more money. I said, okay, like, do you want to do more hours? No, I don't want to do more hours. Okay, like, are you doing cash work on Saturday and Sunday? No, I don't want to work Saturday and Sundays.
Don't have a second job.
It's like, you know, and then people are saying, oh, well, he shouldn't have to. That's up for debate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's up for debate. If you want to live a better life, and I use the analogy for me, I don't get anything fucking handed to me. Same with you.
Mm-hmm.
If we want more, we have to do more. Provide more value, do more, right? Take more risk.
Mm-hmm.
There's more involvement. If I just put my fucking hand up right now and I said, I'm going to make $1 million next year, net. Someone will fucking slap me and say, well, how are you going to do that?
Mm.
You know, what are you going to do? You're going to take on more guys, take on more jobs.
How are you going to get there?
How are you going to get there? Yeah. How's it going to happen?
Yeah.
Where I'm seeing now that that's becoming such the norm. They're saying, I want more money. Okay.
Are you going to change?
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to work more? You're going to get more gear? You're going to give me more value? Oh, no. Mm-hmm. I just want more money.
Mm. Yeah. It's hard, isn't
okay?
it?
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. You know?
Where fucking 10 years ago, that wasn't the case, dude.
Mm.
It was, hey, this is what you're getting during the week, buddy. You want to work a Saturday or Sunday? Go for gold.
Yeah.
Go for gold. You know, if you're not working Saturday here, work until you can't work no more.
Yeah.
And that was just the fucking normal thing.
Just to make it happen, eh?
To make it happen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that I couldn't have lived. And that's what I say to a lot of the apprentices. It's like, you can live with what you're getting.
Mm.
But if you want the ability to live a little bit more, you want to,
bit of freedom, go on holiday,
you want to save money, like fucking saving money.
Mm.
Like someone said to me the other day, like, oh, you know, I can't save anything. Bro, I wasn't saving anything. Nothing.
Mm.
There wasn't a fucking thing that I could save for during my apprenticeship. Nothing. Yeah. Everything that I earned, I spent either on tours or fucking lunch. Or it was just like, I would literally probably save maybe $20 a week if I was lucky.
Yeah, for sure. Right? Yeah.
The only money that I would really be tangible to save would be the money that I would get on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not designed. The setup is not designed for you to get 4 weeks at TAFE, 4 weeks annual leave, 2 weeks sick leave, fucking fuel, van, or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
And for you to save $200 a week as an apprentice that knows nothing.
Nice, eh? Yeah.
It is not set up for that.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, so, but, you know, fuck. I could go on and on and on, man. But like, have you found that that is probably the most common thing at the moment with guys that are coming through? And I preach it so much to the apprentices that I got, that if they see it through, if they see this fucking trade through, Sparky, plumbing, electrical, whatever, like whatever it is, Chippy, whatever they decide to do,
mm-hmm.
if they see the apprenticeship through in years to come, you know, everyone's talking about the Olympics and everything that's coming.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Work is getting fucking hectic.
Mm-hmm.
There is that much work out there. You know, we're on E1. Every week there's like 270 new tenders coming out.
Yeah.
Every single week, hand on hand. Every week there's new jobs coming
up.
So it's like there's not enough guys to do it. And I keep saying to the guys, I keep preaching to them, mate, if you just see this thing through, I'm telling you, in years to come, you're going to be fucking hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because everyone's going to need things built. And we're going to have no one here to do it.
Exactly right. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's my little fucking 2 cents of apprentices and all that jargon, man. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So next up for Rewired, what are you guys working on now?
Always working on things.
Yeah.
Always trying to better the company. Always trying to train our staff.
Mm.
I don't know, man. There's lots going on. We just got to just keep on top of things. That's the hardest thing. Keep on top of things and keep our clients happy. Keep doing that and we'll grow as we need to.
Fuck, I just realized too, because you're on the Gold Coast, you would have a whole new kettle of fish of guys that are applying for jobs down there.
Oh man,
it's every Friday off, mate. Got to catch the surf.
Fuck, it's bad. It's so bad.
Yo, mate. Can you work a Saturday? Yeah, no chance.
Not a chance. No, you got to get in 3 months in advance to get a boys work Saturday, eh?
Yeah.
No, but hey. It's all right. My crew's good. I've got a really good crew, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. When you go from 7 to 70.
Yeah, no. I'm turning grey already. I'm not doing it.
That's all good. Well, they say it comes with scale comes, you know, it gets easier, they reckon. You know, it becomes everyone else's headaches.
Yeah, of course. That's right. Yeah,
it's just your risk, your money.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
Yeah. You go bust real quick. But anyway, man, I want to thank you for coming on. It has been good. We've just been yapping away, which is good. They're always the best ones. And I hope you guys that are listening got some little golden nuggets from it anyway.
Yeah, thanks, Heath. Appreciate your time, mate. And thanks for everything you're doing for the industry.
Well, thank you, mate. All right, we'll see you on the next one. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this week's episode. If something hit home for you, it would mean the absolute world to us if you could like and share this podcast with someone else that would benefit from it. Tune into next week's episode as this will be one that you don't want to miss.